Buddy, I chuckle every week. Even before social distancing, the front row was always empty. If you're into social distancing, come sit in the front row, you know? Some people think that the pastor looks at them when they're in the front row. I never look at the front row. I'm always looking at you people in the back, you know? Happy Father's Day, guys. Let's have all the dads stand. Come on. Let's give him a hand. I want to pray for you guys, because I know it's a difficult task to be a dad in the days in which we live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these dads. You made us fathers, and you knew what you got in the package, and every single one of us at times has failed. Yet, Lord, you've given us another day to walk with you, to worship you, and to extend to our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids agape love from above. So I pray for my brothers, my fellow dads here, that you would bless them and keep them, watch over them, and that you would fill them overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know me, I always say that every day is Father's Day. Give thanks for your dad every day. Mine's in heaven. I'm going to see him again. Every day is Mother's Day. Give thanks for your mom every day. My mom's in heaven as well. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize what we have until we don't have it any longer. And so I think it's so important that we love our parents. It's a commandment. We find that even in the Ten Commandments, we're to honor our mother and father. So if you need a Bible this morning, slip your hand up. We're going through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I just am blown away by my Heavenly Father, because oftentimes when things happen, people have to do a topical study on whatever's going on. And, you know, we've got this racism thing going on in America, and I didn't have to go there last week. God gave us the Good Samaritan. Compassion, unconditional love for one another. And God hit it right in the nail right on the head last week with his word. And I didn't have to come up with a special Father's Day message. Why? Because guess what? We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, this morning. And so if you have a Bible, let's turn first of all to Luke 11, and then we'll turn to Matthew 6, 9. What is typically known as the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. And so let's look at it here this morning. That's our text. Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11, 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, if you turn left to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, we have the same prayer, but it's a little bit more lengthy. Matthew 6, 9 to 15. Verse 9 says, in this manner, again, red letters, Jesus speaking, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us, guide us in all truth through your Spirit, through your word. What a miracle, what a blessing it is that we can call you Abba, Father, Daddy. What a miracle that is. And that's only because of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary, that we can have a personal relationship with our holy heavenly Father. And so, Lord, teach us this morning, would you please? Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have. We don't just need another sermon this morning, Lord. We need to be taught. We need to be challenged. We need to be changed. We need to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. And so speak to us, I pray, through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. Many times in Dr. Luke's gospel, Luke, the writer of this gospel, was known as also the beloved physician. He's a doctor. And so many times in Dr. Luke's gospel, as well as in the other three gospels, we find frequent references to the prayer life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer is an important part of who we are. And oftentimes I'm as guilty as anyone else on neglecting my prayer life. Open communication with our Heavenly Father. Communication is an important part of our lives, isn't it? Oftentimes I do marriage counseling, and one of the major problems is communication, lack of communication. Oftentimes there's a lack of communication with our kids. Oftentimes there's a lack of communication at work, with our friends, whatever it might be. God has allowed us to verbally communicate with one another, and it's wonderful. But because of the rat race that we're in today, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's all Starbucked up and, you know, got the caffeine in their veins and everybody's running. And, you know, you see somebody, hi, how you doing? And then before they can even answer, you're down the road. And they might go, well, I'm going to kill myself today. Oh, good, have a nice day, you know. And we don't take the time to listen. And if there's any place we need to go on a constant basis, it's before our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our example in life, isn't he? We are to emulate him. We're to be Christ-like, and we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We need God's Word to lead us and guide us. And that's why I love the Lord's Prayer. You've heard me often say, before I came to know the Lord, I knew this prayer. I could repeat it without even thinking about what I was saying. And the sad thing about it, I was so blinded in my sin, I didn't realize or recognize that God was not my Father. Yeah. Because the Bible says, and we'll see it here in a moment, that unless you have the Son, you don't have the Father. He who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Father also. It's conditional. Because what hinders us from a relationship with our Heavenly Father is sin. We are at enmity with God. Jesus spent a tremendous amount of time in prayer. We read many times in the gospel where he rose early in the morning. You know what, folks? That's a good time to pray because there's no distractions. Usually the house is quiet. The kids are still in bed, whatever it might be. And you can have your quiet time with the Lord before, again, the rat race starts. In the evening, we found Jesus oftentimes going to the Mount of Olives. He would go there and commune with his Father. And quite often we read where Jesus found a quiet place to pray. Sometimes that can be pretty hard, isn't it? Or can't it? We have to turn off the television set, have to turn off the computer, have to turn off your cell phone, all these things that distract. We need a quiet place to pray. His disciples knew about his prayer life. They observed it. His disciples saw that Jesus, being the Son of God and Son of Man, prayed continually. And so here in verses 1 to 4, as Jesus again was praying in a certain place, it says, when he had finished, one of his disciples, it doesn't say who it was, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever asked your Heavenly Father that since you've been a Christian? Lord, teach me to pray. And notice, they didn't say teach me what to pray, but teach me how to pray. You see, this is a model prayer. This is to build our prayers upon. This is not to pray repetitiously and mindlessly like I used to. And if Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, depended on prayer, how much more so do you and I need prayer today? Prayer has so many benefits. It relieves anxiety. It gives us peace in our hearts. Would you say people are anxious today, uptight, scared, living in fear? How's your prayer life? Have all of these things going on in America caused you to pray more and seek your Heavenly Father? Or are you just carrying all this stuff around? We're not made to carry this stuff around. These bodies weren't made to carry around stress and anxiety and fear and all of these things. Because the Bible clearly says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and of a sound mind. And we're to continually cast all our cares upon Him, and that comes through prayer. And I also find it interesting that of all the things the disciples could have asked the Lord to teach them to do, it was to pray. And again, what do we ask the Lord for when we come before Him? Needs or wants? They didn't say, teach us how to preach. No. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to perform signs and wonders. Nope. They said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray. And I'm hoping, and again, this is a reminder for all of us that know this section, and I'm hoping this morning that God would enhance our prayer life through the teaching here today. And this is not to put a guilt trip on anybody. Maybe you don't pray a whole lot. That's okay. But God wants to admonish all of us. He wants to challenge all of us to have a better form of communication with Him. Why? Well, the disciples knew, and they had observed that prayer was a real and vital part of the Lord's life and ministry, and it should be a real and vital part of your life and mine today. They also knew that it was a vital part of John the Baptist's ministry as well. Look what it says in the first verse. Came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. And you know, before I read this section of scripture years ago, I never looked at John the Baptist as a prayer warrior, did you? What do you think of when you think of John the Baptist? Camel's hair, biting the heads off a locust. You know, he ate locusts and wild honey and, you know, locust breath and camel's hair and preaching fire and brimstone. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you think of John the Baptist, what comes to mind? And the last thing that came to mind to me when I thought about John was prayer. But yet his disciples, Jesus Christ's disciples, noticed that about John, that John was not only a man of prayer, but he taught his disciples how to pray. When I hear John's name mentioned, it's usually as a prophet, powerful preacher, a martyr. You remember the story how he lost his head at Herod's birthday party. And those are the things we think about John. Yet the Lord's disciples recognized John as a man of prayer. And we're not to go around letting people know that we're men and women of prayer. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their public prayers. They would pray in public just to be seen by men. You know, when you go to Israel, I remember one time we're sitting on a bus at a red light. And they pray at certain hours in Israel. And all of a sudden, I think it was like 3 o'clock, and this rabbi was walking in front of the bus we were on, and he stopped right in the middle of the intersection, put his prayer carpet down, and began to pray right in front of the bus to be seen by men. And we're not to be seen by men. Oh, there's many opportunities for you and I to pray publicly for our dinner, lunch, whatever it might be. Or sometimes people would have us to pray for them publicly. I feel a little uncomfortable because I don't want to be like the Pharisee, but there are opportunities when you and I have a chance to pray. And yes, sometimes it is public. When you look at John, he was a miracle baby, wasn't he? He was born to two senior saints, Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the one that was making straight the way of the Lord. What an incredible ministry he had. Jesus called him the greatest of all the prophets. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He also was known as a man of fervent prayer who taught his disciples to pray. And that's why it was observed by Jesus' disciples. I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones says. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees coming face to face with God. You know that the Lord's army travels on its knees, the most powerful tool, the most powerful weapon that we have, and unfortunately it's the most neglected weapon we have, is prayer. Jesus said that even if you have mustard seed faith, you can move mountains. And we're not talking about moving the mountains around us here, but these mountains that come upon us in our lives. Life is filled with valleys, and because of the valleys, we have mountains, and we need to be men and women of prayer. And so here in verses 2 to 4, as well as in Matthew 6, 9 to 15, we have what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And when you mention those two words, Lord's Prayer, to people, they know exactly what you're talking about, because most people can pray it. Whereas it should be referred to as the disciples' prayer. Really? Yeah. Because he is teaching the disciples how to pray. This is not his prayer necessarily, but he's giving them a structure in which to build their prayers upon. And so I would like to just refer to this as the disciples' prayer. Why? Well, in verse 4, Jesus tells them to pray, "Forgive us for our sins." And if this was Jesus' prayer, he wouldn't have to include that, because Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. He was without sin. And he never had to ask for forgiveness. When he asked for forgiveness, it was usually for his disciples. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And this also is often referred to as the model prayer. And it's a good model, it really is, because it covers everything. It's a pattern or a frame to build our prayers upon. We have to be very careful not to just recite it in mindless repetition, because Jesus himself warned about praying in repetition, as the heathens do, he said. How are your prayers? Are you talking to your heavenly Father? Or are you just praying mindlessly? And again, we're all guilty of that at times. But our Heavenly Father, the Bible says, bows his ear down in attentiveness to you and I. He's our daddy. The term in Hebrew is Abba. I remember one time in Israel, these little kids were playing, and the dad came up, and they said, "Abba, Abba, Daddy." And I thought, wow, how cool is that? Because that's the term we can use for our Heavenly Father, Abba. And I remember when our kids were little, Daddy's lap was always open. They could always come to Dad. And you know what? Many times, just think about it with your little kids. When they come when they come to us, they're not always clean, especially in diapers. But you know what? We come to the Lord anyway, any condition we're in, and he welcomes us upon his lap, doesn't he? Yeah, that's the daddy that we know and love, that, you know, that loves us. And so it's important that we come to him as little children, childlike faith. And also, before we get into our text, we'll get there here in a moment, it's important as well to know that Jesus doesn't mention any place where to pray. We can pray anywhere. You know that, I'm sure. We can pray anywhere. That's why when somebody tells me, "Oh, they kicked prayer out of school in 1962, I go, "Baloney. I can go to school right now. I can go to any place in this country, in this world, and I can pray right now. I don't even have to open my mouth and pray verbally. I can pray in my heart to God wherever we are." And you folks that have Christian kids in school, teach them to pray in school. You know, they don't have to pray verbally. While they're in class, while they're in recess, whatever it might be, pray for their teacher, pray for the principal, pray for, you know, you can pray in school today. But Satan has tried to convince us that prayer has been removed from school. It has not. You can still pray wherever you go. Jesus prayed everywhere. We can pray everywhere, in public, in private. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2:8 that men are to pray everywhere. Also, he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we, you know, verbally pray over and over and over and over. But as you know, we can pray in our hearts to the Lord. Wherever we are, we can be driving, wherever we are, we can pray in our hearts to the Lord. We can have communication with our Heavenly Father. We can talk with him. It doesn't always have to be audibly. We can pray in our hearts and our spirit to him. Secondly, there's no specific time to pray. Why? Because, man, there's times we need rocket prayers, emergency prayers. And there's other times we just need to rise up early or stay up a little later at night to take time to, you know, to pray with the Lord. We need to pray every hour of every day. And again, just having that constant communication with the Lord. Now, I find in my own personal life, when I'm praying, it keeps me from doing stupid things, falling into temptation. It controls my thought life because I sense the presence of my Father wherever I am. Believers pray on special occasions and dangerous circumstances. And when we pray when we travel, we pray when we arrive somewhere, we pray for meals. We can pray everywhere without ceasing. And prayer should be an extremely important part of our lives. It's the greatest weapon we have in America right now. We see all this chaos and all the chaos and stuff going on right now in America. What we really, really need to do like never before is pray. Pray. Lord, bring us back to you. Also, there is no particular posture or position to pray in. The Pharisees did, of course. And again, in those times when I've been to Israel, we get in the plane, LL Airlines, and we take off. And the minute the plane levels out and the seatbelt lights go off, here they go to the back of the plane, prayer shawls, phylacteries, the whole thing, and they're all bowing and praying at the back door of the plane to be seen by men. But you know what? One thing I asked a rabbi that was sitting near me, I said, why do you always bow to pray? And he says, it's always proper to bow when you come before a holy God. And I was convicted because I don't always bow my heart before the Lord in reverence, in awe. Sometimes it's like flippantly. And so again, I need this morning as much as anybody else. You know, the posture that the Lord is looking for when we pray is the position and the posture of our heart. That's the bottom line. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So, here we are praying in any posture, at any time, any place, any circumstances. It's just a total way of life for each and every one of us as believers. Open and constant communication with our Heavenly Father. So here's Jesus praying in a certain place. And when he ceases from praying, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he says to them, and when you pray. Notice he doesn't say, if you pray. We should all be men and women of prayer. When you pray, meaning that we are to be men and women of prayer constantly, say, first of all, our Father in heaven. Now, when I look at that, I could spend the whole rest of the morning just on that one part of the verse. This is absolutely miraculous. This is absolutely incredible. Nothing short of miraculous that we can intimately address him as our Father. And like I said, I couldn't do that before. I prayed it mindlessly and repetitiously, and he wasn't my dad. Who's your daddy? That's the question. Do you have an intimate, loving relationship with him? And it can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what John writes, John 1:12. But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. God lays it out very clearly in his word. How about Galatians 3:26? For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. He who has the Son has the Father also. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? God sent his Son into this world to die a brutal, bloody death on the cross and shed his blood so that his blood would wash away all of our sins, so that we could have a personal relationship with the true and the living God, and there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not getting dogmatic, and I'm not getting legalistic. I'm just sharing the word with you, my friend, because I want you to come to know the Lord. There's nothing greater. You ask any Christian if there's anything ever in their life that's been as great as having a relationship with the Lord, they'll say, it's incredible. There's nothing like it. Nothing. Nothing can compare. And because believers belong to the Son, Jesus Christ, we can come to God as his children. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us because he has made us children of God. And what, again, a miracle and a privilege it is that we can now speak to Holy God, our loving Heavenly Father, our Father, second part, in heaven. That's where he is. Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Yes. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is right there for you. You ain't seen nothing yet. You can have been a Christian for 100 years now. You ain't seen nothing yet of what God has prepared for you. The Bible tells us that mind has not thought of things, or ear has not heard, or eye has not seen those things that God has prepared for those that love him. You are going to be absolutely blown away with your first breath in heaven. That's why we're going to have a new body, because these little clay bodies would explode up there. Verse 11:2 and Matthew 6:9, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed is hagiazo in Greek. It means holy. God's name is holy. We need to be very, very careful when we speak the name of the Lord. Because in the Ten Commandments, it says that we are not to use the Lord's name in vain. And that's not just in cuss words. That's speaking irreverently about God. Not long ago, I was listening to a pastor on TV about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And you know what this pastor called Jesus? The dude with the food. I thought, dude, to him, dude, that's irreverent. His name is holy. Jesus and our Heavenly Father, God. We as his children must recognize that our Heavenly Father is holy. And guess what? One day when you and I finally leave this place as believers and arrive into heaven, we are going to be completely holy and we are going to be completely perfect one day. Wow. But we need to start now. The Bible says we're to be holy as he is holy. We're not perfect, no. But we're to be striving on. We're to be pressing on to become what the Lord would have us to be. How does that happen? Confessing our sin, reading the word, a washing of the word, the renewing of the mind, becoming more like Christ, obedience to his word, all these wonderful things that he equips us to do. He wants us to be holy. And again, it's not a self-righteous thing. As a matter of fact, being holy is very humbling. A holy person is a humble person. We as his children must recognize that our Heavenly Father is holy. That's what Jesus says here. And there are many Old Testament names which show his character, his nature, and his will. He is just an incredibly holy God. Just in Genesis 1, Elohim, it means he is God the creator. No such thing as evolution. No such thing as the Big Bang. Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And he created you and he created me. His name is also El Elyon, which means he is a possessor of heaven and earth. Jehovah Jireh, we love that one, don't we? The Lord will provide. He's also called Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. That's why we, during this difficult time in America, should have peace in our hearts. Do you have peace in your heart? So important. He is Jehovah Shalom. Give it to him. Pray to him. Give all your cares and everything to him. And he will give you peace. Shalom. I was part of a generation that was a big joke. Peace, brother, with peace signs and the whole thing. And then the peace sign they had, you know what that was? A broken cross. There's no peace without the cross. There's no peace without Jesus Christ. The 60s was a blemish on America. They thought they had peace, but there wasn't peace. They thought they had free love, but it wasn't. It was porneia, fornication. Jehovah Tsidkenu, that's a good one. The Lord our righteousness. You know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he imparts his righteousness to you. That means that through his shed blood on the cross, God the Father looks at you and sees you robed in the righteousness of his Son. That's nothing short of incredible. And there's many, many, many more names that I could share, but I've only got 3 more hours left in my sermon here this morning, so I better pick up speed. Just kidding, don't hit the doors. When we speak of our Heavenly Father, we need to know him. And the more we know him, the more we adore him, and the more we love him, and the more we're grateful to him, and the more reverence we have for him in honor and glory. Look what he's blessed us with, grace. You know what grace is? Getting what we don't deserve. He gives us mercy, an abundant mercy. You know what mercy is? Not getting what you do deserve. We must have a constant awareness of his holy presence. Do you have that? That's my heart's desire every day. Chuck Smith would always say, "Ah, that I would have a consciousness of the Lord's presence every moment, every day." You know what that means? In every thought, in every word, in every deed, our Heavenly Father is holy and he sees everything. He sees absolutely everything. Your kingdom come is the next part. One day, very soon, the Lord is going to put down every evil force and all darkness one day. You know that, don't you? And again, I don't have time to get into prophecy, but I got news for you. Every single prophecy that the Old Testament and New Testament talks about, we are right there at the threshold. Third temple, the priests, the robes, everything. We're ready. We see 666 in the news media. Antichrist is ready, standing at the doorway. We see the chip, the mark of the beast. How much more proof do we need? Are you ready? One day, very soon, the trump of God's going to sound. Our king is going to reign and rule in his kingdom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The rapture is going to take place. We're going to be in heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and the person of the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. You think this world's bad right now? Wait till the person of the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is removed. All hell will literally break loose here on earth. That's why you need to know who your daddy is, who your heavenly father is. It's a matter of life and death. Jesus preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It's right there. It's within grasp for you today. Are you earthly minded or are you heavenly minded? That's the key. Because when you come to know the Lord, you realize and recognize this is not our home. Heaven is our home, our permanent home. We're moving all over the place today. You know, people moving in Ryder trucks and U-Hauls and all this stuff all over the place. Every moment of every day, there's people moving. But one day we're going to make our last move up out of this earth. We're going to be at home in heaven one day. Even as David said in Psalm 23, though I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. In the meantime, are you ready for Jesus to return? Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." Next part in our prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. We are not to pray seeking to get our will done. An amazing thing happens when you get saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, your desires change. You want his will to be done. You don't want anything to come into your life that is not from him. We need to pray for his will to be done, not man's will. You know why we're a mess in the world today? Because man's will. You know what they've done? They've taken God's Ten Commandments and they've made 17,000 laws. And they're not good laws. A lot of the laws that mankind has made promote sin. And they encourage sin. That's not God's law. We need to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because when you get saved, all of a sudden your thought life changes. You're heavenly minded. And you want what God wants in your life. It's not what we want. And again, for a lot of us, you remember what your desires were before you came to know Christ? How'd that work for you? Oh boy. Yeah. I desired Rocky Mountain spring water until I tasted the living water. I didn't have coronavirus, I had Coors virus. And it was destroying me. Yeah. And now, guess what? My thirst is satisfied. Through the living water that comes from the throne room of grace, from Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure that our prayers line up with his prayers. And oftentimes Christians pray, gimme, 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 gimme. They think God's a genie. Oh, just rub the magic lamp and just confess it, possess it, all this other stuff they tell you on TV. That's bogus. That's baloney. God will never give you anything that would hurt you or destroy you. And some of the things that people ask for today are those things that will destroy them. They think health, wealth, and prosperity is the answer. You know what I've found over the years, and I'm no young guy anymore, 45 years of marriage. You know what I found? That the greatest blessings in our life during our married life were those times when we had very little. Some of you married folks can relate to that, can't you? That's when we were our happiest. That's when God was really working in our lives, and when we had the least. We're overly blessed today. But again, we've come to the place we realize and recognize that only God can satisfy. Things of this world don't satisfy. And so when we pray, we need to line things up. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to test all of our personal requests by God's will and God's ways and God's word. And when we ask for something, what does he promise us? He doesn't promise us everything. He promises our needs. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And there's a major difference between needs and wants, isn't there? What do we need? We need food. We need clothing. And God provides that for all of us. We've got to make sure that our will lines up with his word and his ways. And then he will answer our prayers. And if we're asking for worldly things and carnal things, and God's not answering your prayers, duh. That's why. Next part of the verse, give us day by day our daily bread. Look at that. And as I mentioned a moment ago, one of God's Old Testament names is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide our daily bread. When the children of Israel got manna from heaven, remember he said, just gather what you need today. And some of them went out and they gathered another 2, 3, 4 days worth. And the Bible tells us that it rotted. Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day our daily bread. And again, God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. Not all of our wants, but all of our needs. And you want to see your prayers answered? Just ask for what you need and God will provide. In prayer, we're to make known all of our personal needs to God. We need physical food. We need nourishment. We also need spiritual food and nourishment, don't we? And we are to live our lives in total dependence on God. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And again, the comparison is a parent with a little baby. You know, that baby can't do anything. That baby is totally dependent on the parents, and the parents are to provide for that little child. And it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He is Jehovah Jireh. We know that God will provide all of our needs. Praise the Lord. Living our lives total dependence on him. The next verse. Luke says, forgive us our sins. Matthew says, forgive us our debts. They're one and the same. And as children of holy God, we must pray for forgiveness of our sins. Why? Because sin hinders our relationship with him. Sin hinders our relationship with one another. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin hinders fellowship, and it grieves the person of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when we confess our sin to the Lord, not to man, not to Pastor Joe, not to the Pope, not to the priest? We are to take our sins to Jesus Christ. We are to confess our sins to him. And when we confess our sins, you know what that does? It cleanses us. It washes us. It restores us in fellowship to him. We're also to forgive others, who have sinned against us. Remember what Matthew said. We'll go back there right now. Turn left if you want to. Matthew 6:14. This is conditional. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you tell me how important forgiveness is. Straight up. What right do I have to receive forgiveness if I don't forgive others? God forgave me. We need to forgive others. And there's people always that say, oh, you don't know what that person did to me. And I say, no, I don't, but I know what we did to Jesus Christ. He was brutally murdered on the cross because of our sin. You know the best thing you can do to take the weapon right out of the enemy's hands is to forgive somebody. Forgive them. And let God deal with them. The world would be a different place today if we had forgiveness, wouldn't it? Just look at our nation. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, prejudice, hatred, all these things that God hates. Wouldn't it be a different place if we forgave one another? Forgive us our sins, he says, as we forgive others. If believers are unwilling to forgive, guess what? How can we truly understand what God has done for us? Do you realize? Do you fully recognize what God's done for you? Whew. God doesn't grade on a curve. Some of us have heavier testimonies than others, but sin is sin, and sin nailed Jesus Christ to a cross. And to remain unforgiving shows we have not fully understood that we ourselves deeply need to be forgiven for all of our sins. He says also, do not lead us into temptation. I heard a guy one time say, do not lead me into temptation. I can find it myself. Every day I pray, God, don't allow me to be led into temptation. We know that God tempts no man. The Bible says no man is tempted by God. He tests us, but he doesn't tempt us. What we're to do is to be constantly aware of our own proneness to wander. We do. Little sheep wander. We fall prey to temptation and to sin. And we should be continually asking the Lord to keep us from these places that would cause us to fall. If you pray, lead me not into temptation, guess what happens? It's amazing, isn't it? When the person of the Holy Spirit, this little alarm goes off in your heart, don't go there. Don't say that. And so if we continually ask the Lord, lead us not to temptation, he will keep us from temptation and sin. If we ask him. And again, prayer is including God in every aspect of our lives, isn't it? Everything. We can't take anything for granted. Which is a healthy distrust in our own strength and ability to resist and flee temptation. People today try, some of you don't remember a guy named Flip Wilson. He would always say, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. Did you know that? Don't blame the devil. He's the tempter, but guess who falls prey to temptation? You do. You made the choice. The devil made me do it. God's not going to buy that one. Your free will made you do it. And it's a healthy distrust in our own strength and ability to resist and flee temptation. We have to be very, very careful. When we say, oh, I've got this one. You wait right here, Lord, I got this one. I can handle this. And the next thing you know, you're on your face going, Lord, have mercy upon me. I blew it again. Deliver me. Rescue me from the evil one is the next part. Sometimes we put ourselves in and allow ourselves to be in places and situations where we should not be. Deliver me, Lord. That's what our prayer should be. Help me. Rescue me. Pull me out of there. Don't let me go there. Matthew 6:13. But yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever is the last part of Matthew's Lord's Prayer. This is known as the doxology, which is the perfect ending for a prayer. It warms our hearts when we realize and recognize who our Heavenly Father is. It strengthens our faith as we press on to the glory of God. There is no other kingdom or power or glory forever other than God himself. And so this morning we just scratched the surface with this model. It's up to you and I now to build our prayers on the model. Who God is, where he is, what he is. And also the rest of it is to guide our lives in every choice that we make. And to give thanks. And to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the newness of life. And walk as a child of God because he is our Heavenly Father. As we close, are you absolutely 100% sure that he's your daddy? That he's your Heavenly Father, Abba? And if you're not, you can make that possible today. Yeah, If God is speaking to you through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit today and showing you that you don't have a personal relationship with him, that can change right now. If you invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, when you have the Son, you have the Father also. And if you would like to invite Jesus Christ into your life and to be saved today, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close and do what every one of us has done, to publicly confess Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. And so it's so important to make a public confession. Anyone, as we close, do you know that you're saved? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've taught us how to pray. You've given us the model. You've given us the framework to enhance our prayers. And may we always recognize who you are. You are our daddy, our Abba, our Father, and you are in heaven. May we always reverence your name, God, because you're holy. May we be kingdom-minded, Lord. May we get our eyes off earthly things and be focused on heavenly things. And may we pray for your will to be done and not ours. Your will is always the best. Your will is always absolutely perfect. Thank you, Lord, for your daily provision. Even now, as many of us go to break bread and celebrate Father's Day and go out to lunch, whatever it might be, may we be a thankful people and give thanks for what you provided for us today. Lord, forgive us for our sins, would you please? Cleanse us, wash us, purify us through the precious blood of your Son that was shed for us. Lord, help us to forgive, would you please? If there's anyone that we have unforgiveness against, free us up, Lord. May we pray for them, may we love them, may we forgive them, and allow you to mend that relationship. Also, Lord, keep us from being tempted. And when you do, set up a roadblock. When you do, try to stop us from falling prey to temptation. May we obey. May we take heed. Thank you, Lord, that you deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And it's also ours as well. Because one day we're going to dwell in your kingdom and experience your power and your glory forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, Lord, may we take heed to what we've heard here this morning and walk in obedience and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the newness of life. Fill us overflowing, Lord, so that people would recognize, without us even opening our mouths, that we are your children, Lord, children of the King. So we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's all